This is PodTech.net. I'm Michael Johnson, and we're here at the Bandwidth Conference on Music and Technology here in San Francisco, California. And with me is Terry McBride, who's the CEO of Network Music. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much.
Now, for those that may not be familiar with Network Music, the name, they're certainly familiar with some of the artists that you are. What would be the proper way of saying that your relationship with the artists are?
Musical manager for like most of them, in the case of an Avril Lavigne or Bare Naked Ladies or Sarah McLachlan or a Dido.
Now, tell me, what is different and changing about what's happening with Network Music as far as the artists dealing with how they're getting their music out there? This came out of a really interesting keynote, not keynote speech, but a lunchtime chat, a little bit about some of the shifting values and certainly some of the shifting ways that music is getting to people nowadays.
I think it really revolves around a few paradigms. One, giving up control of the music, allowing the consumer to decide how they're going to consume the music versus the last 50, 60 years of telling the consumer how to consume the music. So I think today's marketplace, it has more to do with getting your music everywhere that your target audience is and allowing them to decide how they want to consume it versus the way that it used to be. Like, if you wanted to buy a record, you had to go to a record store. And you had to buy it on vinyl or buy it on cassette or buy it on CD. You had to buy the whole album. You couldn't just buy the song that you liked. So it's a matter of shifting all of those control issues and giving that power back to the consumer who's actually doing the consumption. And then ultimately taking that paradigm and even flipping it further and turning the consumer into the retailer and really allowing music to be shared on a peer-to-peer recommendation system, which is how, 70% of everything else that's bought in America is made on a peer recommendation. So what about realizing that and then allowing you to sell music to your friend based on music that you've discovered versus you telling a friend about music and them having to go down to a record store to buy it?
Well, it also sounds like in breaking down that, I guess, the middle infrastructure that's been there for so long and certainly married to the technology as well, since that's certainly a factor in all of this, it sounds like it's putting some of the power or at least some of the control back in the hands of the artists as well.
I think it's putting the control back where it used to be. I mean, music did not used to be consumed mass market in a certain format and heard on a certain type of radio station. It used to be a lot freer. It used to be a lot more flowing. So this is putting that sort of freedom and flow back into it again.
Where is radio in all of that? Because one of the conversations that's happening here at this conference as well is how radio works in that kind of distribution. And you've got some ideas about how that's shifting, how that's going to be changing. And again, because of the shifts in the technology and how people are able to share the I don't even want to call it a product, but say share the artist's efforts.
Well, radio is a push medium where they push at you. They push at you the music that they want you to hear and the advertising around it. And by doing so, they've created niches. Some of them being mainstream pop niches, some of them being hip-hop, some of them being country. I don't know any one person that only listens to one type of music. And they've, created these gatekeepers, which determine the musical tastes of generations. The problem is now the generation that's coming up, the young kids, no longer listen to radio. They pull the music versus having it pushed at them. If they want to hear the same song 50 times over, they can go do that. So I think radio is going to really face a crossroads probably in the next couple of years where they're going to have to react to the fact that the fans that listen to their station and have ownership in their station have no say in that music, and unless they start to allow them to, their listenership's going to continue to go down and going to continue to erode as the consumer who gets older starts pulling the music that they want to hear versus music that's being thrown at them. So I think that you're going to see a huge shift at radio becoming more of a quasi-pull-push medium versus purely a push medium.
I think one of the interesting things that's come up as well in the last few years, and again, only possible because of some of the newer technologies out there, is some of these mashups, mix-ups, the movie trailers, the I don't even know how many Brokeback parodies there are out there right now, but it seems like that model is starting to also work, again, given, I guess, looking to the future of where this relationship is going to be going, according to you. How's that going to shift? Like, are any of those ideas working right now, like mix-ups with some of the artists that you represent? And do you have any examples?
Well, they are mixing. If I look at the general landscape, about 60% of all of the all the content that's getting created daily on the World Wide Web is on personal websites. And of that 60%, over half of it is content that's ripped off from elsewhere, whether it's a photo of John Travolta or a song from some other artist, whether it's Sarah's Angel, put to your wedding photos. So that's already beginning to happen, not necessarily in the sort of arena of, mashups and like all of that stuff, but what we're doing now is, with Sarah McLachlan's upcoming Christmas record, we're going to take the vocal stem of one of the songs, and we're going to release it with drum track, and we're going to let everyone who wants to add that to their Christmas DJ mixtape create their own beats behind it, put their own music behind it. So not just the professional DJs who I would normally pay to create dance mixes, but every Joe who wants to make their own dance mix, we're going to let them do it, and we're going to let them share it in like a sort of Creative Commons sort of approach. At the same time, you have a band like Barenaked Ladies who sell 16-track multi-tracks of individual songs, allowing their fans to create disco versions, lounge versions, rap versions, rock versions, their own versions of the band's songs. And we're going to take the five most popular ones, five different songs, the most popular one, we're going to put an EP up on iTunes. And all the money that we're going to raise from selling those, we're going to put towards charity. So that's taking that whole concept of community interaction and taking it to a very positive place.
You have a lot of interesting artists signed up. You mentioned Avril Lavigne, Barenaked Ladies, a number of others, Sarah McLachlan. Are their attitudes changing as well? Are they sort of part of that dream or part of that wish or that push to change the relationship to their fans?
Sarah, Avril, Barenaked Ladies, they're all helping to drive this, because once you educate an artist, you get them away from the sort of the noise of the major labels, and you explain to them what's actually happening. You tell them what their fans are doing. They completely relate to it. And as such, they completely start to let go of control and realize what they got from music and why they got into music and why they love music. And when you get down there and you educate them about what's happening, they're creative people. They allow things to happen.
What's driving a company like Network Music to do this sort of work? Because it's different. I mean, I just came out from the Linux conference, and there are companies, there are major companies that are supporting open source, because I guess they're ultimately looking to the future where software will be free, because it will be developed again with the same kind of model from the user end, and it'll become again less, I guess, more push and less pull, or more pull and
the other way, yeah. We've been selling our music in open source for like years now. I have no issue with people sharing music. So, it's the way that I look at it is, for a number of years, we all played in the same sandbox. And the person that was winning was a person that had the biggest part of the sandbox. I left the sandbox a couple of years ago. I said, you can have my small bit of the sandbox. I'm now on the beach. Every morning, the tide washes the beach clean. I start with a fresh slate. So I only have my imagination. So I have a company full of people who are imagining what it would be like to do this and that. And the power of imagination is, you already know the end. It's not a dream. The dream is working backwards. So we're already imagining what we would like. And then we're creating that, because we're not stuck in the sandbox. We're not walled in. And we're not stuck to old ideas. So we're having an awful lot of fun and being very, very, creative, and far less marketing meetings and more marketing conversations that happen in the hallways when someone is excited and they get up and they tell people, what do you think about this? versus holding on to it to go into a meeting with 30 other people who have the same thoughts. And it's just creating a whole new way of thinking.
Terry McBride, CEO of Network Music. It's been great talking with you. If folks would like to find out what artists you represent, and I'm sure there are names that they know, can they go to your website?
Yeah, they could just go to network, NETTWERK.com.
Thanks for being with us on the podcast.
Thank you, Michael.
This is Michael Johnson at Bandwidth Conference, Music and Technology Conference in San Francisco, and this is podtech.net.